grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Okay, our first reading is a reading from Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." But you, O Lord of hosts, who judged righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 54 responsively. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause. For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life, those who have no regard for God.
Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life.
Render evil to those who spy on me in your faithfulness. Destroy them.
I will offer you.
For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eyes look down on my enemies.
Glory to the Father.
Second reading is a reading from James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. And you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. Taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Have you heard the saying that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask? Obviously you've heard that. That saying is probably the motto in all kinds of classrooms and labs or in the field.
Ask your questions. This is how you learn, whether it's math or science or if it's knitting or kayaking, whatever it is, even theology. I wonder if Jesus ever told his disciples to ask questions. If he did, somehow they were still afraid to speak up. At this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus has taken the disciples aside for the second time and is teaching them about his upcoming suffering and his death and his resurrection. And they don't understand. Well, that's really to be expected. After all, this is some amazing information that Jesus is giving them. It has turned all of their hopes and their dreams upside down. This isn't the kingdom that they expected. This isn't the Messiah that they had long awaited. No one had ever taught or imagined that the Messiah who would save Israel would do that through suffering. It was power and might. It was victory and prestige that they expected. I guess we can excuse the disciples for not getting it, even though this was the second time at least that Jesus had talked about it. It's easier to excuse them for not understanding, but I think I have a hard time excusing them for not asking any questions. Mark always, in his gospel, Mark always shows the disciples as a little bit bumbling and maybe thick-headed, a little bit on the not-so-quick side. But even in this story, where we might expect Mark to write them as not quite with it, I think I'm standing right next to those disciples, saying, I don't get it either. I think I would be afraid to ask a question of Jesus. I think lots of us are afraid to ask religious questions. And why is that, when the only dumb question is the one that's not asked? Why are we afraid to ask questions? Maybe it's because we believe that we should already know the answer, and we don't want to look stupid. We tell ourselves, hey, I've been through confirmation. I should know that. I'm sure I was taught that. Everybody else probably knows the answer, and I'm the only one that doesn't know. Now, our culture equates intelligence with having all the answers. Of course, there is some truth there. Intelligent people do know a lot of stuff, but that's not the whole of it. Being curious, being eager to learn, digging deeper, looking at things from a different viewpoint, looking for a new viewpoint, those are signs of intelligence. Voltaire said, judge a man by his questions, not by his answers. And I would translate, judge a woman by her questions and not by her answers. Judge people by their questions, not by their answers. Questions are a sign of a good mind, a curious and an alive mind. I heard a report on NPR this week that talked about the value of puzzles, crosswords, and number games. What do you call that number thing? Sudoku. And they were saying that these are ways of keeping the mind healthy. Elizabeth and I have talked about this because we both do crossword puzzles. So my new motto, shoo away dementia with a daily puzzle and a daily vitamin and a daily exercise. Maybe we can apply that to our faith as well, to our faith life, to our spiritual life, to keep our spirit, our faith, alive and active. And I know that religious questions are different from questions about math or science or knitting or kayaking. some people are afraid to ask religious questions because it sounds like you're unfaithful. Somewhere along the line, we've been taught that we weren't to ask questions, that we were just supposed to believe. We've inferred that questions are a sign of doubt. Anything that we need to know, we would be told. Questions are not a sign of unbelief. There's an old saying that hung around in Catholic circles a long time ago, that the role of the baptized is to pray, pay, obey. I guess that's what the Reformation was all about. But tinges of that saying or that sentiment, I think, linger even in this house. That we're not really supposed to ask questions about faith. We easily stand with the disciples. They did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask. I can understand why the disciples weren't willing to ask their questions. Like us, they didn't want to look dumb, or like they hadn't been paying attention when Jesus taught them about this earlier, or like maybe they were being unfaithful or unbelieving for having these doubts or these questions. But imagine what it would have been like for them if they had gone to Jesus with their questions. Didn't they know that Jesus wanted to be with them in their questions, in their struggles, in their doubts? Didn't they know that coming to Jesus with their concerns was a way to draw closer to God? And don't we know that? Don't we know that our questions are a way to help us understand, to come closer to God, to come closer to Jesus? Jesus' kingdom really is an upside-down kingdom. We don't easily understand, as we hear in the second part of the gospel today, that greatness doesn't lie in power, but in compassion. Greatness doesn't lie in being the most beautiful fish in the ocean, but in being the kindest. Or as Ian taught us, being a friend, to have a friend to be nice to you. That greatness, we learn, greatness isn't achieved by status, but by service. We should ask questions. If we doubt or wonder about faith, we should ask questions. If we wonder where Jesus is or how can God be with us when it hurts, we should ask questions. If we don't understand why we do a certain ritual or don't do a certain ritual in our worship, we should ask questions to keep our minds alert. Not our intellectual minds as much as our faith. Keep our faith alive and growing. So here's an opportunity for you today and an encouragement to claim your questions. Find that little piece of yellow paper that's in your bulletin. Find that little piece of paper. Find that pencil that's in the pew box right in front of you. I'm going to give you a question. No, you're going to give me a question. Write one question on that paper. A question that you have about God or the Bible or about faith or about worship. Don't ask what the weather's going to be tomorrow. What is one of the questions that you wonder about? Write down one question. We're not going to read them out loud. We're not going to talk to your neighbor about them. What I'm going to ask you to do is offer these questions back to God. Put them in the offering plate as the plate goes by. What is your question? Maybe the answer to that question will turn up in a sermon someday, or in a newsletter article, or in a Bible study. But offer your question, just one, a question about the Bible, or God, or the faith. Drop it into the offering plate today. We're going to take a couple minutes before we sing the hymn of the day so that you can write your question.